In the name of the living God, the God who is alive. We sang that song, there is a God, he is alive. And so we gather and we worship a living God, not a dead God. And that's such a blessing. He's also a God that's returning. We sang about that as well. He's coming again. There will be an end to this earth life. He will return. I was also blessed by the second song we sang about placing our hand in his and trusting him to lead us. And so, as we look forward to the future and what is to come, we know that we can place our hand in his and he will guide us and keep us. And that's a blessing and a treasure. For a message this morning, the text verses will be taken from Ephesians 5, 14 through 21. You can turn there a while. We'll get to that in a moment. The title is Buy Up the Opportunity. And I'll explain that in a moment too. It's maybe a little bit of a different title. Buy Up the Opportunity. It was about a week ago. Saturday morning, I sat down at my desk. I had a remote customer project I was finishing up that was logged in and running some software to fix some things that had to be done after hours. Sitting there waiting for that to take place, and in the quiet morning, there was a ticking of a clock. My wife apparently has updated the decor just across from my office, placed a small clock that ticks somewhat loudly, and in the quiet of that morning it was seemed to tick quite loudly, and now she thinks her decor is worth it because it's inspiring a sermon. But as I sat and listened to the ticking of the clock in that quiet morning, it seemed to be just with every tick, just another reminder of the moments passing by. And a reminder that I had, with each tick, I had less and less time to get prepared to preach. And so I thought, well, I should make the best use of this time, start thinking about what to preach about. I couldn't help but meditate about time itself. Seemed to be fixated on that for some reason. And began to ask myself, what is time? What really is time? What does the Bible tell the Christian to do with his time? How are we to relate to time as God's children? So I began to study and research. And the message this morning is where I went with that study and that research, inspired by the ticking of that clock. So what is time? If you go to the dictionary has about 14, the dictionary I looked at has about 14 definitions for time. Lots of different ways to look at time, but the most common, the one we think about, the common one is the measured or measurable period during which an action process or condition exists or continues. It's a period of time, a period of when something takes place. Another definition was the indefinite continued progress of existence and events in the past, present, and future regarded as a whole. So it looks at past, present, future in an existence. Our existence here is considered time. And like I said, there's many other definitions, but those were the two that seemed most relevant to what I was thinking. Time is something we measure. What are the characteristics of time? It's measurable. We divide time into segments. We look at millenniums, centuries, decades, years, months, weeks, days, hours, minutes, seconds, and even nanoseconds. And so we measure time. We have increments for time. And we have general terms like a generation or a lifetime. It's defining an existence or defining a season, defining what time is. And we indicate time by clocks, which we all tend to watch, calendars that tell us where we're at in a year, and so forth. Our lives are governed by these spaces of time. But time is also irreversible. It's a sequence of events that cannot be undone. Once something has taken place, it's done. Have you ever wished you could go back up and redo? Time is irreversible. It's continuous. It has a continuous flow in one direction. It does not stop, does not restart, but it's continuous. It's non-renewable. Once you spend it, it cannot be renewed. There's a lot of focus on renewable energy and renewable this. Time is not renewable. It has a singularity to it in that it goes in one direction and only one moment can be possessed at a time. Unlike any other possession, you cannot possess 2 moments or 2 minutes of time at the same time. And we are creatures of the moment. We live from one little space to the next, and only one interest and action fills each of these spaces of time. And so we possess it as it comes, one moment at a time. And we know from Scripture that eventually a time will come when there will be the end of time. Revelations 10, verses 5 through 7, and the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things that there which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. And so we know there's a future point coming when there will be no time. There will be no more measuring by days, hours, or years. It will be the end of the current creation and earth time. God's work of creation will be finished, and we will move into a new, it's not time, we will move into eternity. And so there will be the end of time. Jesus speaking here in John 9, verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Speaking of the daytime being the time of opportunity. There's a time coming, night cometh, when the opportunity will end. The end of opportunity to do the will of God. The end of the ability to choose to serve God. Well, time is valuable then, because it passes through our hands. We know there is an end coming, and so the time we have is valuable. The supply is limited and cannot be replaced. And the impact of time affects eternity. Eternity is held within each moment, and so it is valuable. Time is valuable. There's also an urgency about time. Because time will end and time runs out, there's an urgency. And many of us live under that urgency. We have things that need to get done and within a certain time frame, and so there's an urgency. And we rush about and we try to complete things, and there's more things coming. There's urgency. The urgency and value of time is a driving force behind many inventions. If we can do something faster, it will cost less, hopefully, and we will have more time for other things. The whole world of machinery, automation, and efficient production is of any type of work is driven by the value and urgency of time. The speed of transportation is all about reducing the amount of time for people or goods to travel from one location to another. And we over the last century and a half, the travel has sped up. Up until probably 200 years ago, the fastest you could go was the fastest horse you could purchase. Now we have aircraft that go faster than the speed of sound. We have highways where we can get from one place to another. And so it's all about time, the value and urgency of time. Time is also brief. Our time here is brief. James 4:14. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. It's a reminder of how brief our existence is, and we so easily forget that, and we really need to stop. And that's the journey I was on. Stop and think about how brief our existence is here. And so this, in the Psalms, Psalmist wrote this, Psalm 90, verse 12, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And the thought there is, meditate upon the length of your days. Understand that the days are limited. Think about our existence here, the time we are given. Each day could be our last. Only God knows how much time we have. And we're reminded of that as we hear news of the deaths of other people. Recently, a young teenage girl, a middle-aged man, an old man, all in recent time that I was acquainted with or heard about. Their time ended. Their time on earth here was done. And so we need to sit and meditate. It's good for us to think about this so that we apply our hearts to wisdom. The reason behind this meditation is the question, what are we to do? What is wisdom? How do we apply our hearts to wisdom in relating to our time? What is the wisdom that we must make part of our life as we think about our days and our time? What is the wise use of my time? You see, if we forget this, we can divert our attention into all manner of foolish uses of time, foolish pursuits. We forget the value and urgency and the brevity of time. And so as I attempted to answer these questions, I was drawn to this passage, Ephesians 5. And it's a common phrase. We use it a lot. I'm going to read the text now. But as I dug deeper into this, there was a new meaning that this scripture took on, and that is the theme of the message today. Reading from Ephesians 5, starting verse 14. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And the key verse for this sermon is verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now, maybe it was just my misunderstanding or just a different understanding, but this always seemed to be about being efficient with time, not wasting time, and you redeem it. You maybe multitask, and you figure out how to make the best of your time. And that is a theme there, but if we delve into the meanings behind this, and that's the intriguing thing about studying the Greek root words, we find a somewhat different meaning, which I'll explain. But this passage, we're called to redeem time. Thinking about all the considerations that I just talked about time, we're to redeem it. The underlying Greek word for redeem is exagorazo, which means to buy up, to ransom, or to rescue from loss. Exagorazo is a Greek word that means ransom, redeem, or buy up, buy out. It comes from the word agorazo, which means marketplace or to purchase. The prefix ex means out. So the literal meaning of exagorazo is to buy out of. Literally to buy up, as we would say. And that word, that Greek word, is only used four times in Scripture. Many other times, there's the word agorazo, just which means simply to purchase, is used. The Greek word for time, redeem the time, the Greek underlying word for that is kairos, means a season, a time or period, specifically an occasion or set time. And several meanings that help to my consideration: a fixed or definite time, the time when things are brought to a crisis. It can mean an opportune or reasonable time. It can mean the right time. It can mean a limited period of time. An appointed time was expressed as kairos, with no regard for the length of time. So it's not about the duration, it's about the occasion. Which brings me to another dictionary definition, which was another second definition in the list: the point or period when something occurs, or occasion. That is what this word time, kairos, means. It's an occasion. And this is different from the Greek word chronos, which refers to clock time. Time that can be measured. That's the seconds, minutes, hours, and years. And this would be equivalent to the first definition of time I gave. So the definition of time here is the occasion, the opportunity. And so you combine these two words with their meanings. It gives you the meaning to buy out or buy up the opportunity, buy out the season, the time, take advantage of the opportunity. And so hence the title, buy up the opportunity. And you get a picture of someone who is going to the marketplace, maybe seeing a good deal or an opportunity, and they're snatching it up, they're taking it in, they're making sure they get it, they're getting all of it possibly, they're buying it for their possession to use, because it's the right time, it's the opportune time, it's a good deal. I was thought about today's parallels. We don't have marketplaces so much anymore where you go and bargain or pick up good deals, but we have some similar things. Maybe for the men, it's an auction. You identify something you want and you know what the right price is, and you have to be there and put in a bid at the right time. And you hope that the price is under what you know the value is. And so you'll bid to the final bid, and you'll take that item home, and you'll win that. You'll buy it up. Or maybe for the ladies, it's similar to a yard sale. A mom who will get up extra early, run from place to place, rummage through tables full of whatnot, simply to find something useful, something that's what she considers to be a good deal. And you'll see them piling things on their arm and walking around. They're snatching things up. They're finding something of value and taking it off the market to be put in use in their business or household. Auctions and yard sales. It's that buy up. It's taking advantage of, seizing the opportunity. So that's what the Greek words give us, the picture of redeeming the time. And keep this picture in mind as we go through. I have some more practical things I would like to consider, but that is the picture, the overlying picture that I got as I studied into this. Exagorazo kairos gives the idea of fervent, intentional action, urgent investment, of seizing the opportunities that come. And he says, we need to do this because the days are evil. Wickedness abounds. Time is short. And the Christian is called to buy up the opportunities that come his way. To buy up the opportunities to promote righteousness and spread the light of the gospel. And a quote I found that I thought put it well says this: redeeming the time is simply shortening the length between hearing and obeying. In particular, redeeming time is taking steps to act as God would act as soon as the requirement or need is presented. On God's clock, the only time that matters is reaction time. How soon will you obey? How soon will you do his will? How soon will you seize that opportunity? How soon will you buy up the opportunity? And so how do we do this in a practical way? We can talk about the concept, we can give it examples, but what are some practical considerations? And I had to ask myself, how do we really make this practical? What are some areas where we need to buy up the opportunity? So I have a few, six different areas I thought of. We'll go through those. It's not an all-inclusive list. We need to think carefully about our lives. We need to number our days, think seriously about the time we have, the time we're given. And then we need to ask ourselves in our own personal lives on a day-to-day basis, how can we buy out the opportunity we're given? How can we make the best use of it, take advantage of it? Practical considerations, how do we buy up the opportunity? It calls for action. We need to do something. You aren't going to get a good deal if you're not in the marketplace. You're not going to get a good deal. You're not going to take advantage of the opportunity if there's no action. And so these are all action commands, action words. The first one I have is seek the Lord. We need to repent and turn from wickedness. Mark chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. Now after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. And so Jesus began his earthly ministry with this statement. He announced the beginning of a new covenant and the day of salvation that had come. And he called on men to repent, turn from their wicked ways and believe. Paul, writing in Corinthians chapter 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2, says this, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The opportunity is now. Today we need to seek the Lord. Right now we have the opportunity for salvation. Today, now. The salvation of your soul is the most important opportunity you will ever buy up. And so the first thing we must do is seek the Lord to lay hold on salvation for our never dying soul. And if you've never been saved and God's calling you and you understand the gospel, you need to do that. You need to call out and reach out to God. Today is the day of salvation. And if you have been saved and you have named Christ as your Savior, we need to press on. Be diligent. 2 Peter 1, verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Peter here urging believers not to forget what they have been purged from. The prior verse says that you've been purged from sins. And now by the divine power of God, we can be partakers of his nature and become partners with him. And the verses preceding this list godly qualities that all believers should add to their faith. Goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, mutual affection, and love. These qualities are these things in this verse. And Peter urges Christians to practice these things to make our calling and election sure and to prevent us from stumbling. Colossians 1, 21 through 23. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Again, emphasizing continuing in faith, being diligent, perseverance and diligence in the faith, believing in that salvation is through the shed blood of Jesus and the hope of the gospel, the promise of eternal life and of something beyond time is a must if we are to be holy, presented holy and unblameable. And so this is a spiritual purchase. This is a spiritual buyout. This is buying up a spiritual opportunity. We buy up the opportunity when we are diligent in our Christian walk. And so one way we buy up the opportunity or redeem the time is by seeking the Lord now, today, in the day of opportunity. Second, we save others, or to spread the gospel. We have been commanded to go and spread the gospel to all the world. We have also been commanded not to lay up treasure in earth, but to lay up treasure in heaven. The only treasure we can take to heaven are the souls of men. We can't convert money into heavenly treasure. We can't convert stuff into anything in heaven. But the souls of men, the brothers sitting beside you, the sister sitting beside you, is the treasure you can take to heaven. Your family members, your children. This is the treasure we can lay up in heaven. And this takes effort and continued work. Something we must persevere at. Colossians 4, verse 5, he says this, walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. And again, we have this very same Greek words, redeeming the time, this same phrase. This is the only other place these words are translated the same way in this verse, redeeming the time. Taking the opportunity, spreading the gospel. Jude, verses 21 through 23. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. And so he gives urgency behind saving others, bringing others to Christ. Some have compassion, and that gives the idea behind that is we build a relationship. We show that we care. We minister to the needs in their life. We spend a lot of time with them, demonstrate the love of Christ, share the gospel, increase their knowledge. And others, we need to save with fear. Maybe this is people who know what is right, who have been taught, and yet they're walking the wrong way. They're deliberately sinning and turning away from God. And he gives the picture of desperately trying to pull someone out of, a fire. Just like you would attempt to pull your family member out of a burning building. Do we have that same fervency for pulling people from spiritual destruction? And so we buy up the opportunity when we are engaged in seeking and saving souls. Third, build relationships. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. God's people should be friendly people. We should continue making friends, continue adding friendships. And this verse gives the important role of a friend. Sometimes a friend will be closer and stick by you better than your own family. And so there's an important work of building relationships, the importance of maintaining relationships. Relationships are work, and we must put effort into keeping those relationships working. Sometimes we are so busy with the chronos things, the things of the clock, that we tend to forget the important things. Maybe family time suffers. Time to build relationships suffers. We should be intentional about relationship building time with family, children, spouses, neighbors, friends, relatives. We need to build relationships. Our technological age has eroded good old-fashioned human interaction and relationships. And I see this encroaching in our families, in my own family, and in families here. The time spent on tech is taking away from face-to-face communication. And I don't know what we do about that, except we keep talking about it, reminding ourselves to take our attention away from these digital devices and prioritize real relationships. Husbands and wives, teenagers and parents, teenagers among yourselves, don't just have a digital relationship, have real human relationships. And we could go on and on about relationships, but I thought it was important. It's an opportunity that we must buy up. It's an opportunity we must take advantage of to build relationships with the people around us. Fourth, we need to increase our understanding. Back to Ephesians 5, verse 17, it says, "Wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." The encouragement here is not to be unwise, not to be ignorant, but to understand what God's will is. And it's applying the revealed will of God, what he has given us in his word. We know that is his will, and we can apply that. We don't always know what the detailed, specific things that he wants us to do, but we can apply what is here. And so we need to understand the will of the Lord. Proverbs 1, verse 7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." And that's a pretty frank assessment. Someone who despises wisdom and instruction is a fool. All our learning needs to start with the fear of the Lord, and this extends beyond school. It's a lifetime of learning and growing in knowledge and wisdom and applying what we learn to our lives. So we buy up the opportunity when we increase our understanding. Fifth, don't procrastinate or get distracted. This is the only do not. Acts 24, verse 25, "And he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, 'Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee.'" That's a verse taken out of the story about Paul witnessing to Felix. And Felix trembled. He understood, and yet he said, "Come back when I have a more convenient time. I'll call you when it's convenient for me." And so it's so easy to delay in doing what we know is right, in making our calling and election sure. He wanted a more convenient season, and the devil will whisper to us that there's always a more convenient season to do what is right. James chapter 4, 15 through 17, "For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." And so failing to do what we know is right, even though we are doing no wrong, is still sin. And that's a sobering consideration. But we must put into action the good we know that must be done. We must not procrastinate or be distracted. Luke 21, verse 33 through 34, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares." If I understand correctly, the word surfeiting means overindulging to the point of dulling a mental capacity, the drunkenness, not aware of what's going on. And he puts cares of this life right in with that. We can be distracted with so many things. And these things are the opposite of redeeming the time. So we buy up the opportunity only if we do not become distracted or procrastinate. And finally, we must do the Father's business. We must be about the Father's business. Jesus' words to his mother when she asked why he had stayed in Jerusalem, sitting among the doctors and the teachers. And he said, "Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" He had a work to do. He had God's calling upon his life, the Father's business. And also the verse in John 9, verse 4, "I must work the works of him that sent me." He had come to do what God had wanted him to do, what God's plan was for him. He was doing the Father's business. 1 John 2, verse 17, "And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." We need to do the will of God. If we are to do the Father's business, we must push back against the ideals and desires of the world, the desire to accumulate more and more, the never-ending push to get one more thing done. And our schedule and our life goals must be subject to the plans and purposes of our Father, what His will is for us. Our choices and actions must be within the revealed will that He has given in His Word. Now, I just want to, in closing, go to Matthew chapter 25, and I want to read an example of some people who were doing the Father's business. Matthew 25, we'll start at verse 33. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? And when saw we thee sick, and or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer, and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. These people were about their Father's business. These people bought up the opportunity. And the intriguing thing about it is that it was so much a part of their life. They had made it so much a part of their life to do the will of the Father that they didn't even keep track. They didn't even recognize that they hadn't made a list of, oh, now we've completed what God's will has done. No, it was a life work. It was a way of life. And they had done the Father's business. They had done the will of the King. They fed the hungry. They gave drink to the thirsty. And this is both physical and spiritual. We can meet the physical needs, but there's also a spiritual hunger and thirst we must meet. They took in strangers, kind to people from outside, the unloved, the unwanted, the hurting, the struggling, gave clothing to the naked, visited the sick, ministered to those in prison, and we should be seeking for opportunities to do these things now in 2023. This should be part of our life's work, to be about our Father's business. And so we buy up the opportunity when we do our Father's business. And so the challenge before us is today to redeem the time, to buy up the opportunities that come our way. Within the steady progression of time, we are given opportunities. The days are evil. The believer needs to buy out the opportunities that come his way. Buy them up. It is our call to make the most of every opportunity, to push back on the evil around us, take righteous action, and build the kingdom of God. May God bless you. Let's pray.